The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hi, this is Christopher Lewis, and welcome to Dating Intelligence, the podcast where we give relationship advice from dating, the marriage, and everything else in between, and always with the goal of helping you to continuously be the best you at all times. All right, guys, hello. We got a great episode for you today, and I probably have two of my most favorite people in the entire world on the show tonight.
Probably?
I don't know, G. He said probably.
It should be more.
Well, hold on here, ladies. Let me introduce you first. And all right, I'm gonna backtrack that. They are two of the greatest people that I know in my life right now.
That's better.
All right, good. Happy to say that. So, whether you're married into it or in a relationship that puts you right in the middle of it, you've made the choice to enter into a relationship with pre-established kids. And yes, although it can be a thankless job sometimes, it can also be incredibly rewarding. Welcome to the wonderful world of step-parenting. My guest host and I are both very familiar with being in relationships with kids in tow. My first guest, she has recently married into her step-up relationship, and she is someone who has always been up to the challenge in all facets of her life. Please welcome one of the best people you will ever get the privilege of knowing, and my best friend, Glisten C. Slack.
Aw, thank
up, sweetie?
You. Hi, thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. How are you today?
Great.
All is good?
Yes.
How are those kids?
You know.
All right. We're going to get into that. All right. Now, my next guest, she has been in a relationship with me and my kids and has done so with an open heart and mind. She's my finding love twice over and the absolute love of my life. Please welcome Jamie Taylor to the show. Hi, honey.
Hi.
I finally got you on the show.
I can't believe I'm on this side of it. I'm usually the one being talked about, so this is kind of a nice change.
Well, same, by the way.
Yeah. I'm happy to have both you guys on my show. And guys, like I said, these ladies are my absolute heart. You know, I wouldn't know what I'd do without them in my life. So I'm very appreciative of you both being on my show. So thank you for that. All right, so we're going to jump right into it as always, guys. And like I said, the topic of tonight is called Step Up, you know, being in a relationship with pre-established kids. And these two ladies both have, I think, enough experience. Glisten, you're actually married into it, like I said, for about how many years now?
Let's see. I mean, technically, they've been my babies for 6 years.
Right.
Yeah.
And how old were they when you started?
So Jackson, my son, was 2. And Addison, my daughter, was a newborn.
Wow. Yeah. That's starting from ground zero.
Yeah.
I don't envy you. I don't.
I mean, you know, lots of people say that, but everyone has their own context, right? Mm-hmm. For me, in the way that I saw it, my husband and I came together. We'd known each other for years, nothing, no spark. And then my mom died and he started going through a divorce and we're like, yes, this is totally the time we should get together. And, I wanted a family as of like yesterday and had been perpetually single on purpose. And so it was a dumpster fire until it worked out. But the way that I felt and still feel is they sort of saved me, right? It was a messed up puzzle piece of life that met my messed up puzzle piece of life. And the kids were and are part of that.
Right. Now, guys, what she's saying is all I heard was that this girl was ride or die before she got in a relationship with kids, and now she's stuck in it, but she's brilliant at it. And I've been through some shit with this girl, so I know what she's talking about is it's a lot for her. But like I said, I think one of the things that I admire and love about you the most, it's always been about family first with you, and that's something that you wanted to create, and kudos to you because your family's beautiful and they're amazing. You've done an amazing job.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to switch over to my honey boo. Hi, honey boo.
Hi, baby.
My precious that I call her. All right, so now I am very fortunate that you came back into my life. And I said finding love twice over. If anyone missed that one, it was an episode that we did earlier about finding love twice again. And this one has come back into my life. And we've been together for about 4 years now. It's been a good run, and I hope it's going to continue to stay a great run. And she's been, like I said, her heart is open. You've been amazing and accepting me and my girls into your life, and I'm super appreciative of that. So I want to talk to you a little bit more. How's it going for you? You're on air now. You can say whatever you want.
Not exactly. It's been very interesting. It's definitely a soul-searching endeavor. There was a lot going into deciding to be in a relationship with someone who has children. There's a part of me that says at the time of that we entered into our own relationship, what was going to be the future of my potential childbearing? Mm-hmm. And then what do I do with two kids who are yours, who aren't mine? Fortunately, the situation between you and their mom is great. It's probably the best that anyone could ask for, which sets up sort of a home run situation. Obviously, your relationship with the kids depends on more than that, but if you have that to contend with in the background, it creates so many barriers that we didn't have. Once I got past the idea of maybe I don't need my own children. Mm-hmm. Maybe my lifestyle, our lifestyle, isn't ready for a newborn, and never will be ready for a newborn. And then all the things that come with that. So now there's three children and potentially four children.
Right.
I never envisioned myself as someone who had many, many, many kids. Frankly, I never envisioned myself as someone who had one kid, you know.
Right. So, by the way, same. We've talked about this.
Yeah, it was an interesting transition for me to let go of that, even though I think in my core it wasn't really what I wanted. It was just the fact that I couldn't have it. And so once I got okay with that idea, then it was much easier to have sort of this open mind about accepting two children that aren't mine.
Right, right.
And yeah, having them accept you. Which
well,
they totally
well, that's a whole nother level. That's a whole nother level.
They love you.
Right. Well,
that's very sweet.
And these are the things we're going to be discussing tonight, girls. It's just the fact that, you know, we're going to go through the whole gamut and just kind of start on going through the process of what people need to know. And I'm sure there's a lot of, we know a lot of women out there that have children who are single and getting into new relationships or vice versa. And it's not easy. You know, it's got to be usually the right person. It's got to be the right fit. It's got to be this, like this whole thing lined up together to make it work. And I feel like, you know, going back for myself, I'm going to talk about something in the past for me that when I was younger, I actually dated someone who had a child. And I remember he was about 3 years old and I was going for it. I was like, you know, I don't know where this is going to go, but I'm willing to take the chance and bring this, you know, the whole package into my life and see what happens. I think after watching, what was that movie, Bug's Life, I think that's when I finally went out because he sat on the toilet too long during the movie and it really pissed me off. So I think that was it for me. I'm out. Mike out.
Super committed.
Thank you very much.
I'm now glad with my own parenting skills have improved
thank
since
you very
then.
Much, G. Now with my own kids, I gotta accept them, you know. We don't have to love them, but we gotta accept them, right? So, all right. So let's get into the fact, just listen, like, you know, Jamie had said something about this and now me and my ex, we do get along and it was a good situation for you. But you, on the other hand, had a more difficult road with your now husband and his ex. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So I think, listen, I'm not everyone's cup of tea. That's obvious, right?
You're mine.
It's one of the things that makes me love you.
Makes one of the things why I love both of you, actually. You're both my cup.
In my family, I grew up in a really blended family. It wasn't a family tree. It was a family bush. And it wasn't always blood that united us. It was the choice that we were together. You both you're part of my family. You've been to my family, so you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're mostly Jewish, but we spend Christmas at my step-grandmother's son's ex-wife's house, but it's just my aunt, right? Like, and you don't get to leave the family. You just get divorced, and then you get remarried, and then more people join the family. And that's what I grew up in, and that's my belief, and that's how I live life. So I'm coming into this situation, and I think I call her our ex-wife because she's our ex-wife.
For sure.
And will continue to be in our lives as long as those children are alive,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And if I had my way, she would come to Thanksgiving and we would do things together and we would go to dinner together. And that's I definitely don't think it's something that she wants. But it's also not something my husband wants. Right. So it's.
No, I get it. It's difficult. And unfortunately, you know, sometimes you can't have it all. And no matter how you, Jamie, think that, you know, you did enter into a golden situation, there's a lot of road bumps, and there'll always be a lot of speed bumps. You know? And it doesn't even have to do with the ex sometimes. It sometimes, more importantly, has to do with the kids on what they feel and what they want.
Well, listen, I mean, anytime you enter into a relationship with children already exist, they've experienced some type of trauma, mm-hmm. right? Whether it's someone who passed away, someone who's given them away for adoption, or someone who's had a divorce. And so, or the parent was never present in the first place. So no matter what relationship you have with the other parent, you automatically are starting with kids who have come through trauma in some way. Yeah. And so that's not the same as having your own child between the two of you and raised in the Willy Wonka factory yeah. and everything is chocolates and lollipops, right? Right? This is definitely more challenging because you know that they're coming from a place where they want mommy and daddy together.
Yeah.
They don't understand mommy and daddy can't be together for various reasons. All they know is that they want both of their parents' attention at the same time in the same house from breakfast till dinner.
Right. And that sometimes, you just said something really poignant. I'm gonna use that word today. You like that word, right? That's something that I feel like a lot of kids do. They feel like you're now are interrupting what they feel like is just a possibility that their parents can get back together.
Yeah.
So anything as a step up pretty much is just like a roadblock in the child's mind.
I didn't get that, right? Because my kids were so young.
That's right.
But that's the beauty.
Yeah.
It is. It will lead to different kinds of dynamics, right? But you mentioned the word trauma, right? And that word hits me because it ends up sort of being something you deal with. We fuck our kids up. Am I allowed to say fuck?
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
Yeah.
We fuck our kids up. That's what we do, right? That's why they go to therapy when they get older, because they're not us and we do it the best we can, but we're going to fuck them up, right?
That's right.
And part of that is in our own pursuit of happiness. And as a grown-up and as a parent, I want to show my kids what that means to pursue happiness, because I want them to be able to do that. And inevitably, sometimes that means that it hurts other people. Mm-hmm. It's not intentional, right? But the reason I wanted to pick up on what Jamie said with trauma is because when you're entering a relationship with kids that have gone through a divorce, while mine may not have the trauma that you're talking mm-hmm. about, right? I want mommy and daddy together and you're in the way. I don't have that. But that doesn't mean there isn't trauma, because also our ex-wife and my husband have trauma from that as well.
Right.
So I actually disagree with you in the sense that I think they do have a similar kind of trauma, because let's take your younger one who was a newborn. I'm a firm believer that there is an incredible maternal attachment, but yet this newborn is spending time away from mom, right? And so maybe it's not conscious. Maybe it's not like I remember last Christmas when we were all sitting around the Christmas tree, but there is no question that the children have an incredibly strong connection to mom. And so no matter what you do, whether it's when they were in utero, when they were zero, or when they were 10, when they're not spending that time with mom, it's a challenge, right? They're missing a piece of them. And it's like, how do we, who aren't mom, in particular for women, obviously right. men have a little bit of a different scenario, but how do we deal with it? We can't usurp it. We can't be mom. We aren't mom. But it's like, how do you then acknowledge that your child is missing someone, feeling the loss, feeling abandoned, nothing that we intended to do, but this is the mind of a 2-year-old, of yeah. a 4-year-old, of mm-hmm. a 6-year-old. There is no logic.
But the counter to that, right, is that you only know what you know. And the truth is, I mean, so there is there should be context, right? So they spend half of their lives with us, and they spend half of their lives with our ex-wife and her partner. And so when they're with her, I have less control, right? When they're with us, the party line is you have more people that love you. And that's the environment they grew up in. And maybe this is my view of coming in from an alternate, non-nuclear kind of family, right? But it didn't look like everyone else. And so I didn't feel like I was missing out on something. My dad was never around.
Right.
I didn't miss him, right? I felt like I got everything I needed from the family that I had. And I felt like I had all these extra people that loved me. That's how I felt as a divorced kid.
Well, but
I hope my kids
to make
feel
that happen
way.
Though, on both of your sides, it's that like you both have that heart that's going to show that to them, you know, vice versa, where it's going to be some step up parent where they could give a shit about the kid. You know, they're there about their partner. They're there for this reason, and they don't show anything to the children to give them what they need on the other half of it. So at least, you know, you guys in one aspect are both on the same page. The fact where you both are showing enough love to these children, which, you know, they're all appreciative of that, whether it be younger, like Glisten's children, or you came in younger, and Jamie, you came when the kids were 4 and 4 and 9, actually. So, you know, it's one of those things where, which we're going to get into right now, let's talk about the challenges of being a step-parent, you know, and you guys have mentioned something before. It's just like, you know, the challenge of being a step-parent include coming into a new family where everyone else already knows each other, and you guys might feel a little bit left out. That's one thing. You know, the other thing is your stepchild might reject you. They're going to ignore you or just don't feel uncomfortable or shy around you. And that's hard, but I feel like both you guys have these amazing personalities to make these children, whether they're trying to be a certain way, that they just lose that because they can't around you. You guys are just so amazing that they can't. And that's the beauty of it. So let me talk about some challenges for you. Glisten, right now, what are your main challenges that you're going through right now? I don't want to go about your past, but right now, what are some of the main challenges that you feel as being a step up that you're going through right now?
Yeah. So it comes from my context, which is why I sort of gave the family history, but you notice I call them my kids, right? Mm-hmm. They're also our ex-wife's kids. They're also my husband's kids, but I call them my kids, and that's how I feel. And I'm super active and want to be super active in their lives. And to the point where this drove my husband crazy. He asked my son the other day in the car, well, when you need help with schoolwork and like you really need to focus on schoolwork, who do you go to? And he asked him because he thought he was going to say you, daddy. And he goes, Glissy.
Smart choice.
I know, right?
Love you, Jason. Smart choice.
I know, right? And I want that, right? I want to be a resource for them. But what I end up struggling with, though, is at the end of the day, they're not mine. And that breaks my heart sometimes. And it truly is the only thing I actually fear in life. I think I'm pretty fearless. And the only thing I fear in life is if he woke up tomorrow and decided that this relationship wasn't for him, my family would just disappear.
Right.
Like in a moment.
I never thought about that, actually.
Well, even just talking about it.
Like, there's a lot of fear about that, but I think that also happens with biological parents. So I don't think that fear, even though you think it's wrapped up in a context, if there's no biological connection, I know plenty of parents whose kids have woken up one day and said, I'm not really interested in this relationship, I'm out, right? And it's traumatizing, in particular, if it's your biological child. I think
But it doesn't have to be their decision. It could be my husband's.
Right. Yeah, I get that. Yeah, it just rips it all away, and now there's nothing, you know?
Yeah.
So I understand that. All right, and Jamie, what about you? I mean, what is right now, you're in it right now, what is your challenge of being a step-parent at the moment?
So I actually started going back to my therapist to try and work out some of my challenges. You know, I'm a little bit of a perfectionist, as you know.
Same
I'm
girl.
A little bit of a pleaser, like a type A. And so in my mind, I have all of these lists about and pre-assumptions about how I think a child should be raised. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it comes from my own childhood. Now, my own childhood, as therapy has sussed out, obviously had its own flaws. We weren't terribly communicative, right? Like, I'm not an open book. I don't wear my emotions on my sleeve. Whereas, you know, I think really both of your kids' parents, our kids' parents, have that attribute. So it's interesting that you walk into a relationship, you see these children, and you have context of how you were raised. But that is not at all what's going on in this current situation. And it's for many reasons. It's because your partner doesn't have the same ideas. It's because the mom doesn't have the same ideas. It's because it's 2021 and things have changed. And so I think the thing that I struggle with the most is letting go of my assumptions and, frankly, probably some misconceptions about how children should be parented. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes I'm right, but I think oftentimes, because there's so many ways to skin a cat and there is no Dr. Spock's book that's actually true about raising a child, there's no one way to do it.
Right.
And I think there are so many different styles of parenting. I need to be less structured in the way that I think about the children, not necessarily less structured in life, right? I do believe children need some structure, especially when they're younger. They test boundaries on purpose. Mm-hmm. So I think that my view of the way that they receive me, that the way they behave, like, I should have a little bit less structured view of that.
Right. I think you're doing a great job, though. And I understand what you're saying, though, but it doesn't come across per se when you're with them, because I know that both you girls, which we all do as parents, you know, because once again, it takes a village to raise these kids. You know, it's not just one. I'm happy to have the more the merrier to raise these kids, because it's a lot of fucking work. But what I'm getting at is the fact that, you know, you both are happy to be there for them and to be a part of life. And like for both of you girls, like you said, when the little one said, hey, who's going to help you with schoolwork?
Glissy.
And she said, Glissy, right. Same as you, which I love about you, Jamie, is the fact that you think about education a lot. You know, you want to make sure that they're doing the right steps to get there, which even for me, as far as I went in school and how much school in our family was very important, I still never had the structure that you have behind all that. And I think it's refreshing that I go, God, I don't have to worry about this. Jamie's got this. You know, it's good for me. So you're helping me to point them in the right direction.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I do definitely feel all those things, and I'm happy that you're receptive to those mm-hmm. ideas. But, you know, the other challenge, which I'm sure you also have, is how much do you assert yourself? How much is too much? Like, right. How much does the, you know, mom or dad want to be the person making those decisions or having that conversation or talking to that teacher or whatever it is? Like, you know, it's hard to know where your boundary is.
So that's a very good question. This is stuff that, so people, I've done my research for this episode because I got two amazing women on here and I got to step my shit up to be in this conversation with these two. So that's a very good question. What I found out is just that, first and foremost, with listen, you being married, you know, and now, and Jamie and I, we're just in a relationship with this. The parents always take precedence. Like the biological parents take precedence. They will always handle every situation. But that does not mean over time that your opinion matters, you know, and that's where I feel like we are at a lot sooner, because I think that my ex would be super accepting of you putting in your, you know, your point of view, because right. It is helpful. Yeah. On your side of Gliss, I know that it was probably a little more challenging at some point, because you do get a lot of flack back and forth from that. And so these are two different situations, guys, where one over here who's married has to deal with a lot more, I feel, but you've also have made it to where people, they're coming around. You know,
yeah.
Me on the other hand, you know, I feel like we're both accepting of that as a lot sooner and more willing to hear your point of view, which is also good. So there's no right or wrong on when someone should chime in. I feel like the best thing is to make sure we continuously all communicate what our wants and needs are, especially when it just comes to the kids. Let's put aside our bullshit. And all of a sudden, if you're in, this is where I always say, guys, and I'm going to get on my soapbox here for a minute. One thing that always pisses me off about divorce and kids and people getting into relationships is the fact that sometimes people forget that because of your own personal issues with your ex-spouse or whatever it is, you forget that there are kids, and if there are kids involved, that's the most important thing that matters more. So put your shit aside. You guys all figure out together. I don't care if you're dating fucking Tutankhamun or fucking whoever the fuck you're dating, but Amen. Just make sure that the person who they bring into the life is accepting and let them know that, you know, hey, we want you to be a part of this, because ultimately you are. You know, and I know, Glisten, for you, I don't mean to bring up too much stuff and I'm not going to get into it, but I know that with your husband's ex, you guys just met the new boyfriend and things like that, where your kids have to go to a lot of times, and you know nothing about this guy. And so it's very hard to be in a situation where everyone's not on the same team. And I feel like it's just a disappointment sometimes. Whereas you, Jamie, you know, you have that voice. You have the team. You have my ex reaching out to you when she wants to. And I feel like most people, even though you still, where a lot of people like, whoa, this is weird. You know, like, why is the ex reaching out? And is she really on the up and up? Da-da-da-da-da.
Well, my mom was like that, frankly.
Right.
She was like, I don't trust any of this. This is just weird.
And a lot of people would feel that way. And that's the thing, where why me and my ex...
I'm the exact opposite. I'm like, ooh, that's a good sign.
But this is why we get along very well, Jamie. Yeah. This is why you're my other half of my heart. But a lot of people, Jamie, feel like you do. But at the same time, it's over time where that trust finally goes... Wow, this is really the way it is, and this is the way it should be for anyone.
Yeah, and I think part of that is, listen, some people come from a generation in which this never would happen, and I think that is some component of my mom and, you know, other people in my family. Some people have a personality that seek difference, that seek heterogeneity, that seeks something that is outside of the norm. And I think that's why the three of us sit at this table and get along as well as we do.
Right. Yeah.
So it doesn't at all bother me that this is the situation. I think, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't imagine our life if we had a contentious, pissed off, frankly, rabid ex who was trying to, like, cook rabbits on the stove.
Right. You know, rabbit boiler.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, the truth is, it's just like anything else in relationships, right? Whether they're, dating, romantic, friends, familial, whatever. You only have control over your side of the street.
That's correct.
And this has been difficult for a control freak like myself in this situation. But we can only do what we can do, and we can only control what gets communicated at our house and the kind of love and acceptance and open doors that we have and the open invitation that the kids have to extend to anybody that they want to come into what is our home, our space, our love, and our family. That's all we can do,
right?
I can't affect any of the other things that happen on the other side. And so while that drives me bonkers, I have to just wash my hands of it sometimes and give best efforts for making it happen and being able to sort of crack that nut, right?
Well, and that
kids are smart. They know where to go for what resource, and they know what feels good to them when they need to try on all the different hats that they're going to need to try on. And so my goal is to just be able to be an extra see it, be it kind of leader for them. And when they have questions or decisions that they need to make in their life, they'll know to come to me for any of the ones where that feels good for them. And I want that to be the broadest, biggest category I can possibly be for them.
Right.
That's the goal.
Which both, I feel both of you have done really well. And guys, so what Glisten just said is something that is very important. And I feel that both of you do it really well. It's that you're not trying to fill a void or become, the mom. You
That's
know,
right.
What your role is to basically just be someone who helps them, to uplift them, to someone they can come to, a confidant, you know, just be a friend.
I amp up their mother. Like,
right.
I talk about how great she is and how much she loves them and how many people in our family love them. And we count all of the people. It is not an either or. It is not an us and them. It is an and.
And that's the beauty of it. And Jamie, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree with Glisten more. It really is about trying to highlight that there's so many people in their lives. Like, for instance, I think I was going through with Blake the other day how many grandparents she had. Mm-hmm. And she was going through all the grandparents, and I forgot my mom. And I was like, but what about my mom? She's like, oh, yeah. You know, so it's really cool for them when they take a step back and be like, oh, yeah, I have this whole army behind me, if they can see it in that way. Right. But it does take, I think, constant redirection.
And a lot of nurturing.
Yeah, because I think sometimes, listen, I think with our kids, we're experiencing a little bit of emotion, which is partly due to age, and I think also partly due to an age where expression happens. And so it's been a couple years where this has been going on, and it's like, now I'm going to state my piece. And so when you can redirect them enough from that, then maybe it's like throwing shit at a barn door, right? You throw it enough times, something's going to stick.
Yeah.
And so I think you just have to hammer, like, hey, we're all here for you. We all love you. Whatever your need, we're here. We'll help you do it. I was thinking in terms of the mom, it's like, I almost err on the opposite of not trying to be their mom. Like, I'm almost like, oh, no. Like, I'm not your mom.
Well, not because great, I don't I try not to be their dad half the time. I mean, but I have to. So I get it. But continue.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's like, I don't want there to ever be some misconception that I'm like elbowing my way through the crowd. Right. And be like, yeah, that's me.
Right. I'm the mom. Front center. Here we go.
Listen, I was picking up your youngest from camp, and I met a little boy came up to us and says, hi, I'm so-and-so. And I was like, well, hello, so-and-so. We'll call him Sam.
Okay.
And you know, your youngest is kind of like looking at her feet, and I'm like, oh, how do you know Blake? You know, and just talk to him, and then his mom comes up, and Sam wants Blake's number, which is basically the parent's number. And so she's like, oh, can I give you my number? I'm like, definitely. I said, just so you know, like, I'm the dad's girlfriend. Here's like the dad and the mom's number. You can have all three.
I hate those moments. Like, so that's not true. I love those moments and also hate those moments. When the kids are not with me, and I'm trying to do something on their behalf, pick up a prescription, like something like that, then I really hate those moments because I use the word stepmom. I really don't like that word. I think it was, what movie? Cinderella, right?
I've not used it yet.
Just ruined it for me, right? Stepmom. I hate it, right? I had step-parents growing up. None of them were called steps, right? And so the kids call me their Glissy. When they're around and I'm in those moments, then I love it. We had a moment like that too. It was when Addison was in preschool. My daughter was in preschool, and I was super active at that point, picking them up and dropping them off from school. And so I would come in, and all the kids would be like, "You're Addison's mommy." I was like, "No," and Addison would run up and she'd go, "It's my Glissy." And then she had an awesome teacher, and the teacher was like, ooh, who else in here has a Glissy? And no one else raised their hand at Addison.
Right.
And then we talk about how special it is that Addison gets to have a mommy, a daddy, and also a Glissy.
Right. Yeah.
That's great. That's great. So let's help viewers out there on how to helping step-parents go smoothly. Let's talk about some of the things you guys have discussed. It's like, you know, make sure that you talk with your partner. What role do you want me to play with your child? Or what should I do? What shouldn't you do? You know, all these things are communication with your partner. And guys, if you get into something with that have people that have stepchildren, just make sure that you and your partner communicate enough to know what roles that you have and what are your boundaries. How far can you go with discipline? How much can you take with this?
But I think it starts with what Jamie said. And I did a ton of this too, which is therapy. I think before you're able to have that conversation with a family that you're walking into,
right,
I think you need to have a grasp on what your shit is, on what your baggage coming into that moment is. And by the way, that's not static. That's dynamic. Because as life changes, it will bring up other things, just like it does for everybody, right? Once you have a strong sense of that, then I think you can come into that conversation. But that's, again, not a one and done.
Right.
Having the making the space to be able to have a shifting dynamic of where are your boundaries, what's important to you. And I don't mean just you, the step parent, there's that word again, but also the parent, right? How do you guys want to communicate? What is hands down the most important thing, priorities 1, 2, and 3 for the kids?
Right.
What are the things that trigger each of you? And having that be a dynamic dialogue.
Yeah, of course. And dialogue is very important. So, and like you said, if you need to feel that there's things that you both need to understand about yourselves on what your wants are and what is your role outside of this, that's something that you said, therapy or whatever you need. But once again, it boils down to at least you both are communicating and thinking moving forward. And that's important. Other things,
if like, you're willing to be a step parent, you really love the person that you're marrying.
Yeah, that's yeah. that's like, huge.
And you really want, like, you want that because it's not for the faint of heart.
Right.
It's not, which actually brings me to a question that I had for you, Chris, mm-hmm. because I know you have your own perspective on this because you and I talked about how would you feel if I somehow brought a child into the relationship that wasn't yours, you know, in vitro, blah, blah, blah.
I remember this, yeah.
And I wonder if there is a significant difference between the male point of view and the female point of view, because I think, you know, as women, we love the person that we're with, but we have a maternal instinct for protection.
Right.
It may not even be love. It may not even be a desire to be a mom, but it is instinctually protection. So in the moments where you're not connecting and in the moments where you're like, Jesus, this kid is driving me crazy, right? Like at the
end parent stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Not the parent stuff, right? As females, I think, and obviously this is not applicable to every single person, but I think in general, there is a little mode that kicks in and says, it doesn't really matter that you're having a hard time dealing with this kid. Like, your shit doesn't count right now.
There's a bigger purpose.
There's a bigger purpose. Right. And so you put on the face and you dial it back and you go to another room and you count to 10 and you're like, who wants gummy worms? Right? And you change it up.
I cannot underscore what you just said enough.
Yeah. But I don't know that men have the same short-term capacity in terms of in that moment, but also long-term capacity to walk into a relationship with a woman who has kids and provide that same availability, right. emotional connection, support, interest. Now, obviously, there's no guy here to actually stand up for themselves.
Well, gentlemen, hold on. I'll take this. I went from the soapbox to the chopping block. I will handle it, gentlemen. Let me talk. All right. So my point of view is the fact that, A, I like anyone who knows me, it's like I'm amazing with kids. I'm amazing around them, but I also know that if they're not my kids, I can also let them go and be done with it, right? That's probably one of the reasons why I didn't want children in the first place.
My kids
until
love their
I found
Uncle
the
Chris.
Right one. Say that again.
My kids love their
And I love
Uncle
kids,
Chris.
But I can also walk away and leave. You know? Yeah. That's the thing. But it's also no different than if you guys listen to Pets R Us with our animals. It's like I feel like for myself that me personally, I'm only speaking for me, not all guys, that I have you both said it. We all have a sense of control that we want in our lives. When it comes to if you had children and I came to this thing, yes, I can ebb and flow over time because ultimately it's like I love you and I want to be in this relationship with you and I want to make it work. It's the same thing as when we got our dog. You know, it's like no different than how your expectations on what you want to do with the dog versus what I want to do with the dog. And I obviously let a lot of things out. We had a big blow up about something. You haven't heard of blow up birth since then, right? Because I've learned to ebb and flow. The same reason with my ex, with the kids on how she disciplines the kid is way different than mine. It's probably no different than if someone else's kids are coming in that. So these are the things that I look at and go, not mine. How do I come in this situation and with my point of view on how I was raised, on what I feel is right for what I want in my life, that's not there already in that situation.
Oh, you mean the same thing that we're doing.
Correct. And that's what I mean, though. So, but what I'm getting at is for myself that I feel that I tried it once. It was okay, but, you know, I ended up
being with the psychopath. So that's why it wasn't the kid.
It might not have worked out because of a 3-year-old.
Right. Okay. So that whole Bugs Life story, still the kid had to go to the bathroom, do the movie. People,
psycho,
still pissed me off because I missed half the last half of the movie. And I was really excited to see what happened at the end of that film.
Riveting. Let me tell you.
Right. So anyways, I was a little pissed off for that. So that kind of jaded me a little bit from that. I was like, you know, fucking kid, this is what happens when you have kids. I got to get in the way of what I want. And that's a lot of it right there. So a lot of guys, I feel, probably feel like, once again, they're getting in the way of what I ultimately want, which is spending time with their partner, spending time with this, spending time with that. So that's my take on it. And I'm sure a lot of guys feel that way. And most guys, quite frankly, are just selfish. You know, at least I have the capacity to be like, I'm willing to work and move and shake and to pivot. I am. But it's going to take a minute for me to get in there and go, you know what? After I have a blow up, probably it'll probably end up almost breaking the relationship up, but that's what it needs sometimes to realize what you really want. And so I'm honest and open enough to know for myself that it would have probably gotten that point if you had kids, because I would have been like, you know, these blah, 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 blah. And then you'd be like, you know what? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, what's most important here? You know, you are. And so I would pivot and change and make it work if it was most important to me. Do I drop the mic
that's
now?
That's not how that conversation went. 3 years
right
ago.
but what I'm getting at right now, looking He's back grown. On that conversation, is that if we would have went through it, which I was willing to do, don't get me wrong, so you can't say, even though we're the conversation went where
no,
it went
no, no.
Okay
no,
good
no. We were willing to go down a different
this is
route.
True right. You're right about that. You're right about
which we haven't talked about right. at all now
right. But that's why that conversation where we're getting at right now is why I decided to go the extra mile and say, hey, look, I'm willing to do this with you and not go that route.
Right.
That's
and I,
why.
And I appreciate that. But it doesn't change the fact that even if I brought a child in at age nothing.
Right.
Right. I had in, you know, some type of fertility treatment with some random sperm
right.
and an egg. And like, it's not biologically your child, but that was really difficult, in fact impossible, for you to get past. And I'm not picking on
no,
you
of course,
but
pick
I'm
on
just
me.
Saying
pick
I'm,
on me.
I'm curious to know genuinely if there is a difference between the way guys think about this whole scenario and the way that girls think about this
and
whole
I'm,
scenario
and I'm positively 100% sure that you're absolutely right. You know, like you said something earlier, that women have a motherly instinct, guys are just like, you know, out there just to plant their seeds. So if it ain't their seed, why do they want it? You know? And quite frankly, most guys don't even want their own goddamn seed. So why would they want someone else's seed? Am I right? Do I hear a amen? Do I hear a yes? Yes. There you go. All right. So moving on. Okay. I got that one, people. I'm going to move on from this
you
one. I'm
count
talking
the
this
number
voice
of times
for a minute.
You said seed right there.
Say it again.
You got to count the number of times you said seed right there.
Enough seeds to plant in the world. Listen, make the world a better place. All right. So we're going to talk about a couple more things about helping step-parenting go smoothly. You know, you want to focus on the positive. You definitely want to take things slow. Now, listen, I know with your kids being younger at the time, you know, I don't know how much slower you can take when they're like 2 and 4. You know, but Jamie, on the other hand, when I introduced the kids to you, you and I had a plan, and I think that you targeted it actually really well. You know, you knew who was the most important out of it when you assessed them and met them, and I thought that you did it great, you know?
Yeah, so I'm going to stop you a little bit because mm-hmm. I don't like the word most important.
Okay.
But I did realize that of the two personalities that I met initially, I knew there was going to be one of those personalities that would be very withdrawn. And so I felt like it was most important on my part, not which of the kids was most important, but who do I focus my attention on the most
right.
to try and crack the shell, you know?
And what is so, the outcome you're looking to engineer, and how do you strategically make that happen? I think that
right.
makes total sense.
I think,
yeah. The other thing I thought that happened that I really appreciated was, even though I was a bit nervous to do it, interestingly, was your ex called me and she's like, hey, listen, I know you're going to meet my kids and let's just have a cocktail. Like, let's go out, talk, let's
right.
talk about like
that.
Who you are, who am I? And
five
I appreciate
gold
that.
Gold stars.
Yeah.
Five gold stars.
Definitely. So immediately, I think it put both of us at ease for the future. Like, oh, you're not a cockatoo, I'm not like an alien with 3 heads, and my kids are going to be safe with you.
Mm-hmm. But plus that creates connectivity for the kids, whether you guys realized it or not, because then you go home, you're like, oh yeah, I met with your mommy. And they go home, they're like, oh, I met with Jamie.
Yeah.
that creates a not that world and the other world. That's a our world.
Right. Right. And just think how the kids feel when everyone's in the room together. It just makes them that much brighter and shine. I know you had a situation just recently where, you know, you went to the other home for the first time and your kids were, explain the story. You go for that.
I'm ecstatic that you even brought it up. So again, I just want houses to be merged, right? Not in every way, but like I want continuity, right? And holidays together and all that stuff. And so there was a moment where the kids had been asking us to come to our ex-wife's house and to see their rooms. And so she agreed, and we got there, and the kids literally dragged us inside for a house tour. They were so excited that they were showing us where floorboards meet and like the handles in the bathroom and like how the closet bars were hung. Like it was a probably 2.5 hour tour.
Wow.
And they were excited and over the moon. And at the end of it, we're all standing together in the living room. And my son goes, "You are welcome here anytime." And our ex-wife goes, "Well," he goes, "this is my house too."
That's awesome.
It was a really cute moment. Yeah. And it shifted how they felt. And particularly my son is very emotional and has a super high EQ. And for him in particular, I noticed an instant and immediate change in the transitions, which are a whole topic in and of themselves.
Yes.
In how he approaches conversations, in his willingness to FaceTime the other house when we're together, which is a constant offer at our house. And there's just more, he had a barrier removed for him in that moment.
That's great.
I cried.
And how much does he carry that? Like, we don't think about that. I mean, we do, but I just think people in general don't understand how much weight a 6, 7, 8 year old child can actually care.
Yeah. A lot.
They carry so much. Right. They don't know how to express
like
it.
Like, we're seeing that with ours right now, for sure, 100%.
Yeah.
You know, she's carrying a lot of weight, but, and she's expressive, she's communicative to a point, but, you know, she's going through a lot, and I feel like it's just...
she's communicative in the way that she's unhappy, but I do think it's hard for her to express why. Transitions are, I think, a big deal, even though there has never existed a barrier between households.
Right.
I mean, literally, I actually think one of the hardest days that we had was we had an amazing Christmas where basically it was our turn to have the kids for Christmas, and we invited their mom to stay with us for two nights.
Yeah. This was this year.
This past year. So we spent the whole Christmas weekend together, like having, you know, a Christmas Eve evening, and then woke up in the morning and opened presents together, and then, you know, vegged out on the couch and watched Wonder Woman, ordered Chinese food, did a scavenger hunt.
And then she stayed an extra day, didn't she? Didn't she stay the extra day?
Yeah, she stayed Christmas Day night. Yeah. But the following day was super challenging. And I don't know if it was just fatigue or it was just like all of it much.
Yeah.
So we don't have the physical or even the emotional barriers between households. We're super mergy. But it doesn't change that transitions are still tough.
They are.
Right. Yeah. And so what Jamie's saying, guys, is the fact that this ultimately says that, you know, kids still, it's a lot, it's a big weight to bear, and they're trying to figure it out. You know, they don't want to step on any toes, and as much love as we show them or we want to show them, they still get their own vision of what they see out there on both ends. Yeah. And they just want to do right by what they feel, you know? And so I get that. All right, so let's talk about, you know, like I said, we're gonna stop this pretty soon, but I want to know what is the rewards for you of being a step up parent?
Oh my God, there are just so many, right? They add purpose to my life in a way that I had not foreseen, and I had expected that to be, but I learned so much from them. It's crazy. Like on a daily basis, I learn more about life from the two of them, and they reflect our behavior. Mm-hmm. And so part of what I learn is just their fresh take on the world, but another part of what I learn is pieces of me that maybe I wasn't aware of that I don't like, because then I'll see one of them do it. I'm like, oh, shit. That's a me thing, right? But then I also learn about my own philosophies, right? Like we have a whole cussing philosophy in our house. It's a whole nother conversation, right? But I didn't learn it until we got there. But I think probably the most foundational sort of piece, the rewarding piece, right, is watching them grow and being able to not just have a seat to that, but to be able to participate in that play, because I feel they're so capable,
yeah,
in totally different ways, and the world is at their fingertips. And to watch them and feel them start to learn that and feel them start to want to attack that and start to have the confidence to go after that, and then to be able to like push them that, like, I just... There are no words. It's so rewarding.
Yeah, well said. And Jamie, what about you? I know that we're not in the place where Glisten and Jason are, but let's talk about pretty much we are. You know, we've been in a relationship for a while.
Our life exists in the same way. So I agree with everything that you said, Glisten. Very well said. And I think all of those things are rewards. But I can think of two things that I really enjoy and feel very grateful for. So when I was younger, my mom is one of seven and my dad's one of four. So holidays and family gatherings and birthdays and all that stuff was a big ordeal with everybody. Bring your ice chest, bring your pickup truck, park in the yard, and let's do it up until midnight, right? And so there was a transition in young adulthood where we all grew up, we all went our separate ways. Unfortunately, some grandparents passed, some parents passed. And you lose that family connection, which is like the most innocent joy, mm-hmm. I think, that people can feel, is to be comfortable in people that you trust, that you can be vulnerable with.
It's like you feel safe. You know?
That you feel safe, mm-hmm. that bring joy to your life. And so one of the things that I've really enjoyed is, you know, right now in my immediate family, it's just my mom and I. I have no siblings and my dad passed away. So being in a relationship with someone who not only has two kids, but two kids and a mom and two grandparents and then their extended mm-hmm. family and then your extended family who also have kids. And then when we get together, it's the cousins with the cousins.
Yeah.
You know, that I didn't have for a long period of time. And it's definitely something that I enjoyed growing up and missed. So I would think that's probably a really big one for me, is to be able to have that innocence of happy. Like, I look forward to holidays, even Same. Though they might end up in a temper tantrum. I still right. like the process. I still right. like the journey. And then I think the other thing is kind of close to what you said, Glisten, which is, you know, in my current line of work, I do have impact on other people. I'm in healthcare. And so that is something that has always been such a humbling experience for me and something that I value and feel blessed about. And so I have that same impact on two people who, for better or for worse, hopefully mostly for better, right? Like, I can mold them. I can affect them. I can guide them in ways that I think are positive for them. And so being able to have an impression or to be there in their vulnerable moments or to help guide them when things are confusing and you don't know mm-hmm. and, you know, expose them to new things, like, that is something that is precious. Mm-hmm. And I take seriously and often try and think of new things Same. That, you know, we can introduce them to yeah. and how do we guide them to be the best people that they can be. And I lose, you know, sense of that sometimes because you get bogged down in the weeds and then you kind of get overwhelmed and frustrated. And
it's called life.
Yeah.
Right. Life. But yeah. when I take a step back and I say, geez, you know, if I didn't have this, like, wow, what a missing chunk there would be from my heart.
Right. Well, I think that's well said too. And I have to say for both you ladies that I've learned a lot from both you guys, just being a parent in general, because I know that sometimes,
It's like with anything, it's stressful. It's hard. You know, you're learning as you go. But coming from two step up people here, I think you girls have done an amazing job, and I'm
like
very
step
happy.
Up revolution.
Say it again.
Is it like step up revolution?
Oh, did you just throw in a joke?
Yeah, I did.
Nice. And a movie reference all in one.
That's great. I love it. Step up revolution, guys. And like I said, it's just, I've learned a lot, and I'm so appreciative of you too. And I know that the children in your lives that you guys have, you know, come into are probably just happy as can be. And I know that they really cherish the both of you. So I'm appreciative of that. All right. So guys, we're going to move on. And first of all, I want to say thank you guys on this. And this is a great subject.
Thank
and
you.
Guys, remember one final thing with this whole situation. There is no right or wrong with this. I mean, if you're getting into something with someone who has kids, you have no idea what you're doing, just be you. First of all, communicate with your partner. Make sure you're there for the kids. And there's no role that you need to feel like you need to take with them. Just be there for them. And yes, sometimes some kids are going to be difficult. Some might be easier than others. You know, if you're who you are and you feel like you really want to make this work, then make the effort to just be a friend, be a mentor, and just be someone who can be a confidant and someone who you feel that they can look to you for love no matter what, because they all children want in general just to be loved. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's something that we all look for in life. So, all right, with that being said, guys, I'm going to move on to the question of the day.
Ooh, and question of the day.
This is
day.
A good one. Now listen very closely. All right, so here's the question today, ladies, and you guys are going to answer this first as always.
I was not given this in advance. This was not part of my pre-interview.
Well, good. This is going to be a surprise for you then. Hey, Christopher, great show. And I feel like each week you're getting better and better at your craft. Your subject matter is very informative and helpful. And you are always cracking me up with your smart-ass remarks. Keep up the amazing work. Thank you very much. So here's my question. I'm a single mom and I have a 9-year-old son. He is the absolute love of my life and will always come first. Now that the pandemic is slowing down, I have started to date and have met a really great guy. We have been serious for about 2 months. He knows all about my son and seems to be on board with moving this relationship forward. At what point in time do you think I should introduce him to my son? I just want to make sure that all the boxes are checked before I make this happen. I think my son will really like him, but I just don't want to force it too soon. What do you think is a good way to measure the right time?
Oh,
sign, anxious but cautious.
I have the best answer for
all right,
this.
Well, I guess you're going to leave. Listen's looking at me like she's about to jump out of her seat.
People, I so am. But my answer comes from me as a kid of a single mom. So I guess maybe I have two points of view, right? I'm not a single mom today, so I can't answer it from that point of view. But as a child of a single mom who certainly dated, looking back on it, I never knew the men she dated unless they were important, and there was only one, and she married him, and he was my stepdad for many, many years.
That's great.
But I definitely remember meeting lots of my mom's friends, and they were boys, girls, neighbor, like looking back on it, right? She would introduce everyone as a friend,
okay.
Whether it was a neighbor, an old man neighbor, an old lady neighbor, someone from work, someone she was dating, or a girlfriend. They all got the same name, friend. And so as a kid, she got to introduce people she was dating to me without me knowing that there was a romantic interest, which then we talked about it later on in life. And I was like, oh, God, that makes so much sense. Like, I had no idea. She was like, yeah, you weren't supposed to, right? But it meant that she could screen them with me without me knowing they were dating. And I think that can happen as soon as you're willing to trust someone to be in your home with your child. Or in public with your child.
Right.
I think that's separate from when you say you're dating, but...
I like
and I'm
that.
Not so sure that 2 months is enough time.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe I'm a little bit more old school, which...
Well, we don't.
I...
We also don't know how often they see each other and things as well, but...
We don't.
Give me your,
we don't. Yeah. I mean, I agree in the fact that... Listen, I have zero credentials to be able to answer this, but... I feel like kids are so impressionable, and if you're doing it in a way that is, this is a friend, it's in a public place, this person's not spending a ton of time in your home with your kid, because they're also quite intuitive.
Yes, they are.
So my guess is your mom wasn't like, oh, this is my friend Bob. He's going to be here for the weekend.
No.
Right?
No,
it was like you were at the park or you went to dinner.
Or went to lunch. Yeah.
Exactly.
Or like ice cream. Yeah.
Which means that, you know, first, which means that she was taking, you know,
having kids to heart and who she wants to specifically bring in. And like you said, your stepdad, who, you know, at the time, I still feel like he's a pretty amazing guy and kind of went a little south after your mom passed. So I'm sorry for that to you, but I like the guy. So, and I had the privilege of knowing him. You, on the other hand, Jamie, I feel like, you know, you set your boundaries with me and said, hey, this is my primer, my timeline. And she had a timeline, guys, on how she wanted to meet the kids. And I feel like it was good. I liked it, was what we did.
Pretty far out.
Yeah,
it was. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it was around 6 months.
Right.
We were a little bit wrapped up because even though your ex and you were separated, had this transition plan of you were sleeping downstairs, she was sleeping
back
upstairs.
To the whole life thing.
Right, and we weren't divorced yet.
Yeah,
either,
I mean,
right.
So mm-hmm. at the end of the day, I can't meet them as your girlfriend when they're not entirely sure that there's a breakup happening.
And I'm not out
right?
of the house, right.
Yeah, you're mm-hmm. not out of the house. It's weird.
Right.
So the way that your breakup actually happened kind of set the tone a little bit for that. But I also felt like for many reasons, I wanted our relationship to be solid. Mm-hmm. And I wanted them to understand that there was definitely mommy and daddy were separated. They were not married. They were not living in the same house. There wasn't this person who's in there breaking up their
right.
family. I don't know if there's a right answer to what is the right time. I think when you feel is right,
yeah.
keeping in mind that kids are impressionable, that kids get it, they're intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's no time limit on,
yeah, I agree.
You know, when you want to be a unit. And
right.
I think it also depends on when this person's breakup happened.
Right.
Yeah, when, where
point.
Was the dad?
Yeah.
Is the dad in the picture? Did he pass away? Is it, you know?
It well, also comes back to this idea of, you know, so I'm taken to a situation which I was not in, but I do have friends who had parents who perpetually dated, right? And they knew their parents were dating, right? And they were dating this person, that person, this person. And we fuck up our kids. We already laid that groundwork. That happens, right?
Yeah.
But at least that's them trying to be happy. Right.
Yep.
So, you know, in this situation, the kid is 9, right? To your point, kids are smart and intuitive. They're going to know what's going on, right? I think you have to follow your heart.
Yeah. I agree with you. I feel like, you know, unfortunately, anxious and cautious, you know, there is no real time answer for this. So it's something that from what I just read and what we heard, it sounds like the guy really, really likes you. You really like the guy, and it's just use your best intuition. If some red flags come up, your spider sense starts tingling, then it's not the right time. But if you feel, you know what, my gut says that this is the right time, pick a point in the future and make it happen. That's all we can say. So,
yeah. Frankly, if in the last year there's been 5 2-month guys that seemed really special, maybe don't introduce them to this one.
And that's the thing. don't introduce the revolving door guy. That's the worst. We don't want your life to be a revolving door. No kid needs to be a privy of that. So, all right, guys. Well, ladies, Glisten, thank you so much.
Thank
Jamie,
you.
Honey, I love you. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank
I am so happy to have you guys finally on my show. And
Woo!
It's like, this has been great, and I'm excited. And guys, we love you. And once again, if you Glisten, anything you want to plug?
No.
Great.
Dating intelligence.
All right.
That was my answer.
All right, you can say it though.
Wait,
hey, I'm a love.
Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Dating intelligence, the podcast.
All right, guys, you heard it first from those girls right there. So if you need me, please DM me anything social media with Dating Intelligence, the podcast, or you can reach me at Christopher@dating-intelligence.com as well. Great show, guys, today. Thank you so much, and we'll see you guys soon.
Thanks, Chrissy.
Bye, guys.
Adios.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.